Hello everybody, and welcome back, or welcome to the 26th episode, also the first episode of 2022 of the Volley Talk podcast. My name is Tasha, and I am your host for today. Our guest for today is one of the best beach volleyball players in the world, at only 23 years young. Not only was she the first NCAA beach volleyball player to qualify for an Olympics back in September 2019, but she and her Olympic partner are the first women to represent Latvia ever at the Games in beach volleyball. Not only that, she also recently won the Athlete of the Year award in Latvia. I had the amazing pleasure of speaking with the one and only Tina Graudina a few weeks ago, and we talked a lot about her journey of becoming a beach volleyball player, how it's like studying in the US, her future plans for her career, and many other little steps along the way that brought her to where she is now. It was certainly a very fun conversation that we had, and I learned a lot from her. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast.
How are you doing, Tina?
I'm doing great. It's new year, new goals, things like that. Yeah, everything's good. Thank you.
And first of all, I'd like to congratulate you for winning Athlete of the Year in Latvia, right? Last Friday. You look so gorgeous, like absolutely stunning.
Yeah, that's what happens when athletes suddenly don't wear athletic clothes anymore. Then it's like, they look so different. Yeah.
But this might be like a stupid question, but how did it feel like, you know, receiving that award?
It was very, very nerve-wracking. I think it was like the most nervous thing I did last year, including the Olympics. I don't think when I had to walk up to make the speech, I like suddenly felt that like my lips, just like my mouth, like locks up and my voice started to tremble. And I was like, Tina, relax, it's okay. But people who know me could tell that I was very nervous, but people who know me a little bit less, they thought it was fine. So I'm glad that I didn't show too much.
So comparing the Olympics or this, which one is more nerve-wracking?
I think this one was more nerve-wracking. But in Olympics, the first game, I was very nervous as well. But there, at least I know what I have to do.
Yeah, that's so true. So, you know, I want to go back to like the beginning of all this, you know, like who is Tina Graudina and how did you start beach volleyball?
Yeah, good question. So I'm from Latvia and I started playing volleyball because my dad loved the sport and played. So he was my first coach. He taught me in our garden next to our house. We would just like play volleyball sometimes. And then my city, Jūrmala, is next to the beach. It's like a seashore city. So it was kind of natural for me to like pick up beach volleyball, especially when they built the first indoor beach volleyball facility in Latvia. That's when I started playing. And I think that was when I was 13 years old. Quite some time ago already.
Oh, I see. So I actually did a bit of researching and I saw that your grandparents were actually high jumpers and you were actually into high jump in the beginning.
Yes. So I think I even know the article that you read about this, but one thing that I forgot to mention is that it's actually my parents are really good athletes as well. And my mom, she was track and field athlete. And that's why when my mom was track and field and my dad was volleyball. So I ended up doing both until I was 16 years old. Oh. I did both sports. And it was actually a tough choice for me to choose to which one should I pursue more further. And I remember I was like kind of crying in the night, like thinking, oh, like which sport should I do? Because like both coaches were like really pulling me towards like their sport and saying like, Tina, don't go, like you're met. Yeah, it was like weird moment. But anyway, so I chose volleyball. So my dad is happy, but no, my mom is also happy. She of course supports me so much.
I see. So you first started indoor volleyball?
No, beach volleyball.
Oh, okay.
They built like beach volleyball inside so you can play during winter.
Oh, okay. That's so cool. So who or what inspires you the most along this journey?
Yeah, well, I would say I'm maybe not the most typical person because I don't have like one role model of a person. I have I like see a lot of really admirable qualities in a lot of different people. Like, I would like to have a little bit of this person, a little bit of that person, and like I would like to combine all of it together. But I think like my role models ultimately are my parents and my family, and just I think just everyone around me is like always setting high standards, so I kind of have to like keep up and also like try and go forwards. And yes,
I mean, growing up in a family of athletes, I think it's a pretty high standard family.
Yeah, but it was also like not only athletics but also like academics in school was very important. So
Speaking about school, I heard in another podcast that you're actually studying political science, right?
Yes, but I can update you. I actually graduated this semester from political science, so I'm officially an undergraduate.
Wow, congratulations.
Yes, and I started studying my master's literally last week, so I'm doing that now.
And how has it been?
It's been good. I enrolled in this online program, so I will be able to like travel the world and like play volleyball and simultaneously keep studying. So that is good. But it's also a bit harder because it's like you have to have very strong self-discipline to study online.
I see. So you are not a USC student anymore?
I am. It's in USC.
So. Oh, okay. And you still have your eligibility to play?
Yes.
Wow.
Last season.
Okay, cool. Okay, I'll leave more questions for that later. But first, I want to ask you more about your beach volleyball journey. What do you think were some of your most memorable moments throughout your whole journey?
Yeah. So definitely when I was younger, it's weird because the tournaments become bigger, but we grow together with those tournaments. So when we were younger and I participated in like these small Latvian championships, for me as a young kid, that felt like huge. So I actually remember some of the Latvian championship tournaments as very memorable, where I had very great wins, but also very painful losses. But then I also, very memorable is the under 17 world championships, where I got a bronze medal. And that was the first time I achieved something internationally, and that was something that showed me that I have a future in beach volleyball and I could maybe do something in the future. So that kind of encouraged me a lot. And then I would also say European championship title, qualifying to Tokyo, and then also the Tokyo Olympics itself is definitely memorable, of course.
Yeah, I still remember watching the match of your qualification. You were like a lot of points down, right? I believe it was like something like 7-12 or something like that, and you guys just came back and won everything, and it was just insane.
Yeah, I still sometimes have goosebumps when I think about it. Like, it was a lost match. We like shouldn't have won, but something happened. I don't know.
And even in the Olympics, like, you guys did super well.
Yeah, unexpectedly. Again, like, who would have thought?
Yeah, but you guys just, I guess you just stuck to the game plan and just executed your best.
That is the main thing, yes, because it's so easy to like fall into panic when something doesn't work, when like the other team sides out like 5 times in a row. You like are so tempted to change something, but beach volleyball is a game of like chances, of percentages. You play that's like the odds that you will get just one ball up. All you need to do is just get that one ball up. So we just always continue to believe that what our coach planned for us, we will keep doing it, and it will bring us a point or two. And then at the end, it like happens, like we got 1 point or 2 points, and that's all it needs to win. So
yeah, that reminds me of something I remember you said in another podcast, where you said, like, even if you're down, like, it doesn't matter, because all you need is one good serve, one good block, and one opponent error, and then the momentum will get back on your side.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy how quickly things change, yeah.
Yeah, that is super interesting. And like I mentioned to you before, I always keep that in my mind. I even shared it with my friends. And then, like, we were like, that makes a lot of sense.
Well, I hope it like actually is, it comes true sometimes. So I hope that I just didn't say it just like that.
No, it like honestly, it makes me feel like a lot more calm. Like especially like when you said things go out of control, then you just remember that you need one good serve, one good block, and one opponent error.
Yeah, a little bit of luck and a little mm-hmm. bit of skill. That's always, that always helps.
Love it. So, Tina, you've been playing for all these years. What has been some of the toughest challenges that you had to face, and what lesson has it taught you?
Yes. Well, very good question, because challenges have been a lot, but I think the hardest moment in my like so-called career has been the end of the 2018 year, which was, I had been in the University of Southern California for 2 years, and I had to make the decision if I wanted to take a gap year and like mm-hmm. go away from school for 1 year to qualify for Olympics. And at that moment, we were like, I don't know, like 30th in the world. Like we had like never gone higher than 9th in a tournament, and it just seemed impossible. Like, how could that even mm-hmm. happen? Plus, we had the falling out with my partner. We actually split up. We broke up, and we like were very, very like, we had the like very heated arguments. So it so in December I was like without a partner, without like anything, and I had to decide if I want to try to go for Olympics or not. And I like decided yes, and we got back together and we tried it. So that whole thing was hard mentally, to just like realize that's just going to be the only thing I will think about for the next year. And it felt a little bit sad, because I knew that I will just work and just train and do nothing else, and literally nothing else. And I felt a little bit sorry for myself, but now looking back, it was, first of all, it wasn't that bad, and second of all, it was like obviously worth it all. So yeah, that was a tough moment for me, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine like you being in that position, having to decide without knowing what's like gonna happen at yeah. all. But I mean, looking back in hindsight, it was definitely like a good decision, right?
Yeah, but at that moment, it's impossible, and definitely impossible to know.
Mm-hmm, of course. And another question that I wanted to ask is, like, how did you coordinate your trainings when like Anastasia was in Latvia and then you were here in the US? How did that work out?
Yeah, so we are a very unique team in that sense, because for the last 4 years, most of the time we train separately. Mm-hmm. But that is one good thing about beach volleyball, that you are individual and you can like work on your own things on your own. But so I always have USC here. That's mm-hmm. is just the perfect like support system for me. I have like all my coaches and training partners and everything, and I get a lot of practice mm-hmm. every day. And with Anastasia, we kind of let each other have our own freedom. I like, she can decide whatever she wants to do, how she wants to train. Mm. And in the previous year, she went to Egypt with Latvian guys who trained in Egypt. But then last year, she went to Los Angeles for the Olympic preparation for the Olympics. So we trained here in Los Angeles together. So yeah, it's been like, it's been different, and yeah, I don't know, maybe it definitely has its benefits and drawbacks to train together or not, and or separately, because from the one hand, we just need to get better individually, and then we can come together and we're like fresh mm-hmm. on emotions, because sometimes if you're together with a person the whole year, every day, it gets tough, because we're beach volleyball partners, we're not like family. So
true. I see. So that's actually quite an interesting thing to think about also for maybe even other teams, right? If they have the same situation.
Yeah. It's you can look at it very bad. Like, you can look at it negatively and be like, mm-hmm. we cannot practice together. Yeah. That's it. Like, we're done. We won't do anything. But you can also look at it differently, and you always have the opportunity to get better and train. So
And I think for you guys, it actually worked out pretty well.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope. Yeah, I don't know what other teams are thinking, that like a team that like trains together for like 3 months a year that we like beat so many of them. I don't know, but maybe we would play even better if we play together the whole year, who knows, or worse, I don't know.
Yeah, you never know unless you actually try it out. So Tina, okay, I'm gonna ask you some of the best ever questions. So which do you think is the best ever match that you have ever played?
Yeah, there's been a lot. As you mentioned, the Olympic qualification last match was one mm-hmm. of the best. But okay, so the best, there's a different ways how you can look at it. The best in the sense that it gave me the most emotions and the most happiness. Mm. There could be the best in the sense that my technique, like in technical like way, I played perfectly without yeah. any mistakes. True. And I think I would choose a match that gave me the most happiness, and we also played very good, of course, but could play better always. And I think it was the match in Olympics against Russia, mm-hmm. because the Russian girls, we know them very well, they are our age, and we oh. have played against each other since we were 18, and we always lost. We never won them before, and mm. have this like kind of principle rivalry match in Tokyo where it matters the most. Uh-huh. Like all the other games don't matter anymore.
Yeah.
And we again were down. We were down again like 12-9, I think, mm-hmm. or something.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Was it the quarters?
It was the first round. So like
oh.
1/8.
Okay.
First, yeah, I don't know. But so that was a match that's gonna be very much in my memory.
Yeah, I think I remember watching you guys jumping for joy after that.
It was unbelievable. Like how did it
wow, amazing. And what about the best ever team that you've played against?
Again, so many good teams. I think we've played against April and Alex Kleinemann, mm. which are the best right now, so mm-hmm. that definitely is the best team. But I think the Brazilians, Rebecca and Ana Patricia, they are like also one of the best in the terms. I remember how we played against them first times. Like they just beat us like on 11 and 13. And we were like, how would it even be possible to win them? And then again in Tokyo.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's like so many good teams with like so many. Also, the Swiss girls are so mm. good. Both teams, we're struggling usually against them a lot. I also haven't won them a lot. So yeah, so I think there's every single team is like the best team in some sense. Mm. Yeah,
I think every team has their own good things, right? Like you can't really say who is the best or whatever.
Yes.
And okay, what about the best ever venue that you've competed in?
Venue. Well, I would say at my home in Jūrmala in Latvia, the European Championships that happened, and I am so, so excited because they will also host an elite tournament in June mm. this summer. So it's the best feeling to play in front of friends and family for an international tournament where mm. the pressure is so high and to have that support behind your back. But I really liked Sydney. I've really liked I liked Mexico. I liked Stad. It's beautiful with the mountains. Oh, actually, I think I will say out of all of these, I will say Vienna is the best because of the spectators. I think that's the thing that gives me the most like pleasure. Not the mm. like, it's beautiful to be in a beautiful nature, but to feel those people, that is the biggest thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Goosebumps don't lie.
Yeah, they don't. And I do love them.
cool. So, okay, Tina. So what is one team who you would really love to play against, past or present?
Yeah. I think I would really want to play against Laura Ludwig and Kira Valkenhorst.
Oh, when they were, yeah.
When they won like every single tournament they won. That would have been very nice. And me and Anastasia, we actually haven't played against Duda ever.
What?
So, yeah, we would like, it would be interesting to see how it is to play with her. We played against her like many, many years ago in in under 19, under world championships, where she was in together with Anna Patricia as partners. Mm-hmm. So now when I saw that they're back together, I was like, I'm back to the old partnership. So maybe we'll get a chance to play against them.
Mm, yeah, that would be super interesting. Rematch.
Yes.
Cool. So okay, and I want to ask you more about USC and like everything. So how did you get into USC?
Yes, so I was in Latvia. I was studying in my high school playing beach volleyball, and then I went to that under 17 tournament where I got the bronze medal. And there for the United States team was Anna Collier, who was at the time head coach for USC. Mm-hmm. And she saw me play, she liked me, and I think she talked with my dad, my dad is very involved with it in my like career in like United States universities especially. And my dad, I think, expressed an interest that I would maybe want to go at some point if I want to. And I was at my home and I got a call on Skype. Literally, I was studying homework and like suddenly like there's someone calling me from the United States, and I asked my dad, should I pick it up? He was like, yeah, it is. And it was Anna Collier, and she was like, hello, Tina, I'm calling from Canada. Would you like to maybe, we would like you to come. But this is not a typical story, but I'm glad that it worked out this nicely for me. I had some other places to go to, but I ended up choosing USC, which I'm very happy about.
Would you say that studying in the US has like been something that you've wanted to do throughout your career before that?
No, not at all. I didn't even know what's happening really in the United States. I didn't know what the system was, what the schools were. And that's why I kind of like, trusted my dad to help me choose which school to go to, because I like all I could do was Google search, and I on Google every school looks really great. So at the end it was actually like more like a financial decision, I think, but also because USC is just so good at both, at the academics and sports, so that's how it all happened.
Okay so I'm also currently studying in the US, and you are also an international student. We're both international students. What are some of the like biggest cultural differences that you've noticed between US and Latvia?
Yeah, definitely a lot. Americans are very different from Europeans and Latvians. Even for European standards, Latvians are considered to be like quieter and like a little more like inside, maybe. So I was... Yeah, so people thought that I was very quiet and shy, and I maybe was as well, but I think United States helped me really to open up socially, in the sense that I learned how to like chit chat with people. I learned how to like be in like social settings and stuff like that, which United States is very like big about, like just like casual people and everything. And I really was struck at how friendly people are, in the sense that everyone can just easily start a conversation with you, and it's normal and like respect it. And also another thing is how big the packages are in like
totally agree.
In the food and like supermarkets and everything, you can't buy something small. If you just want something small for yourself, you have to buy like a huge pack of everything that you don't need that much. So that's like still frustrates me, because it shouldn't be like that. We're wasting so much like materials and things. But yeah, that's something that I still notice.
I agree with you. Those are some of the main things that I've noticed also. What are like some of the lessons that you've learned while studying here in the US?
Well, one of the things I've learned is how to be in a big team. And because United States really likes big team sports, so they have beach volleyball is a big team sport where we have like 10 girls in a team or more even. So I've definitely learned all the like philosophical stuff that comes with being in a team. We have a meeting with our team psychologist once a week, so should we talk a lot about like these values, these like behaviors of how like just like how to be a good teammate type of things. I think that listening to these things for 4 years now, they really have impacted me and have made made me change my way how I like would behave otherwise. So that's like one of the lessons, and yeah, just the positivity, I think.
Cool. So earlier you mentioned that you're doing your master's now, right?
Yes.
And that will be for about 1 to 2 years?
That's 4 semesters, so I'm expected to graduate next May.
Okay, and what's the plans after that?
After that, well, so I will call my graduation when I stop playing beach volleyball for USC. And okay, that is going to happen this May, already in like 4 months.
Oh yeah, because you just have one season of eligibility left.
So after I finish this season in May, I am basically a free human being and I do whatever I want.
Oh,
scary. Yes, I will be able to finally call myself as a professional beach volleyball player. I will do everything with that.
Wow. Okay. So you said you will finally be able to call yourself a professional beach volleyball player. It means before this, NCAA will hold your prize money, is it?
Yes. I count as an amateur.
Oh, what? You're playing the Olympics and everything.
It doesn't make sense. And I'm very happy that they changed the rules about the sponsorship, because mm-hmm. now we can have sponsors, which is so nice. Otherwise, before that, it was just so tough. All these rules are very, very tough.
I see. So do you think you would continue being in the US, or would you prefer to go back to Latvia?
I will definitely go back in Latvia because there's my family and everything. But I think that I will actually spend a lot of time in the United States as well, because first of all, Los Angeles has a lot of very good beach volleyball teams living and practicing here. And I think that is something that really helped me in Anastasia to be so good this season, because we spent the spring preparing here in Los Angeles. And also I have like my friends and so many more people are actually now here in the United States that I really love and want to be around. So I think I will do that. I will be splitting my time.
Yeah. Hopefully also COVID will start to slow down and then it'd be easier to travel back and forth. So Tina, in your opinion, what is the most important quality of a beach volleyball player?
If only it was one thing, I would. But yeah, that's the beauty of beach volleyball, because it is so versatile and it demands the players to be so versatile in almost everything. That's why I would say versatility is the most important quality, both in the technical terms of you being able to do all these different shots and be unpredictable, but also mentally, because you need to be able to adapt to the different environments, different pressures. There's going to be teams that you're very much stronger than and you still have to perform very well. There's going to be teams that seem unbeatable that you have to like get it together and play. So versatility definitely is like one of the top qualities, but that's why I like beach volleyball, because there are just so many other qualities like strength, smartness, like a little bit of like emotions and like just so many other things.
Yeah, that's true. Beach volleyball is just such a holistic sport.
It's really compact with a lot of things.
What are some of the hopes of the future of your career?
Well, after I graduated, my goal is to go to the Paris Olympic Games. I really want to play in that court.
Yes, I've seen pictures.
I just need a picture of that. Honestly, that's it. Then my career can end. I just need a picture of me playing there. That's it. I think I will have to definitely adapt to truly actually being a professional beach volleyball player, of like actually having it as my job. And that's going to be interesting to see. I will see if I actually like it as much, because currently I'm in school, I'm around my friends, we have all these like social things, but it's like any job, it is like tough to do this one thing over like every single day. So we'll see how it goes for me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you'll thrive still, so don't worry about it. As I know, like in Latvia, maybe beach volleyball is not very big yet, right, as compared to the United States. So how do you use your platform to grow the sport in Latvia?
Yeah, well, in the terms of the number of players, definitely not as big as United States, but in terms of popularity, I would say it's bigger. It's a very well-known sport, and like beach volleyball is very well respected. That's how do I grow the sport? I think like first thing, of course, is by example and just by inspiration. And it was such a cool thing to hear during the Olympics of like all the people who watched me play, and of like so many little girls have contacted me saying like, oh, you know, like there's like, or like moms saying how their children watch me play, and like they also suddenly want to start playing beach volleyball. So that the inspiration part is really nice, but mm-hmm. I actually would like to start some kind of other initiatives maybe that would more tangibly help beach volleyball in Latvia, but that's something I will do after I finish playing here in May. Currently we have an initiative where people can donate to a foundation that is going to help young kids who are tall to like go into beach volleyball because we need to pull the tall people away from basketball, which are also very popular, so we can, like, have some kind of like in it, like, yeah.
I see. I would say Latvia would be a pretty averagely tall country, right?
Yeah, we're pretty tall. Yes, very tall.
So it won't be that difficult.
Well, it is, because we're tall, but we're very few. Like,
what's the population roughly?
It's 1.9 million.
What? That is actually fewer than I expected.
Yeah, so divided by half for men and women, then divide by age group. So actually to find a girl who could play beach volleyball is a very, very hard task.
Wow, okay. So Tina, besides beach volleyball, what else do you like to do?
Besides studying, I like... I actually do like to learn. I do like to study. So I like to like feel my brain moving. But I also really like to make things with my hands. Like handicraft things. And I used to read so many books. I was the kid who like, I wouldn't talk to people in the school breaks, but I would read books instead. But that somehow changed a little bit. And now because I have to read so much for my university, I don't want to read anymore. Extra, but I think I will definitely pick it up after I finish. So.
What's your favorite type of books?
I like novels, and my biggest obsession when I was little was Harry Potter.
Oh my god, yeah, me too.
I totally relate. So like, no, I know every single detail from my heart, and I'm so happy because my little brother, he's 8 years old, and he's starting to read the books now. Yes. So I get to like relive the experience with him. I'm just like, that's very exciting.
Yeah. I think one day I want to like read the whole series again. Definitely. It's just so nice. So after retiring from the sport, I mean, like, I know it's still like a super long time for you, but what do you see yourself doing?
Well, that's very, very hard for me to answer because like compared to other beach volleyball players, I feel like I'm even less connected to actually my country, because like I feel like I will definitely travel a lot and I have zero clue of in which country I will actually live in as a like
an
athlete. Hopefully Latvia, but maybe somewhere else, I don't know. And so yeah, first of all, where will I be? That's a question. I don't know, but I definitely will have ambitions as well to do like in terms of like the workspace and like business and like organization and stuff like that.
That's pretty cool. And now you're studying political science, right? Like, is that how did you develop that interest? Because that's like such a, you know, deep subject that you don't really hear many people going into.
Yeah, but studying political science is very interesting because I treat it as like listening to stories that are just like more complex, and you have to understand why things happen and like what are the reasons for things happening and the systems of how systems work. So I like that. But it also comes from my family. My dad is very involved in politics, and I think that's just happened. I grew up in a house where like it was talked about, so I developed the interest about it as well.
I see. Yeah, I agree with you.
But I am like, American politics are crazy.
Oh, yeah.
That is like a whole different story. I have taken a lot of courses that are like about non-US politics, so I actually am not that competent about United States politics, which is like nice.
something
like that.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And I agree with you that you said politics is like a very complicated story that is very interesting to hear.
Yeah. It's nice if you understand how like things work. I like that.
What do you think are your strengths, both as an athlete and as a person?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is going very deep now.
Wow. Yeah, this is like the personal level.
I feel like I'm just going to brag. Well, but okay, so I think like some of the qualities that have brought me here where I am is that I am very, very responsible. I like feel whenever someone asks me to do something or I have the task to do something, I like feel like a personal responsibility to like do it. Otherwise I feel very guilty of like not doing it. And I feel afraid to like let other people down in the terms of what they expect from me. But the other thing would also, that means that I've always like been on top of things, but the other thing is that I'm just, I really like to like in sport, I mean, I really like to like be the best in volleyball. It's like the nicest feeling when you are on the court and you like feel like you can control everything and you're in control of the game and that whatever you do is like good and you get a point. That's the nicest feeling ever. So I feel like I just naturally want to strive to like feel that. Yeah, those are like definitely qualities that have helped me in beach volleyball for sure.
Yeah, when you mentioned like want to control everything, I don't know why the word beach volleyball queen just popped up in my mind. It's like a queen, you know, like you have the power. And
yeah. Kind of like, yeah, it's like a game that you are like the mastermind of.
Yeah, true. So what do you wish people knew more about you that they don't?
Okay, we'll see. Well, yeah, I think maybe about the fact that I did like track and field like very seriously before, but also that yeah, that I'm just proud, really proud to be from Latvia. Like it's such a cool thing to like be from a small country and like make your the name be heard in the world. That's a really cool feeling, what I like. And yeah, it's hard to say because I know everything about myself, so it's hard to imagine what other people might not know. But I don't know, hard to say.
Okay, maybe I can tell you, like, from an outside perspective, like, you seem like this really cool girl who is, like, very, just like you said, on top of things, and, like, you're very, very good in the sport, and, like...
That's so nice.
No, but seriously, like, you are really, like, someone that I really look up to in terms of beach volleyball and just how you present yourself and your style, the way you carry yourself and everything. Like, even my mom watched the Olympics and she was, like, such a fangirl for you.
Oh my God. Yeah. That is nice. And this is exactly what I'm talking about when, like, I hear people, like, you saying how much they appreciate me in what I do. And that is the like the ultimate like gratification of what you can receive, I think, when you can give happiness to other people from what you do. That's the best thing.
So knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to your younger self?
Well, to definitely keep doing what you're doing, to keep that like this is again very deep to like keep that feeling of truth like inside you, like to do like what you feel is like what you like, what you want to do, like in like in the sense to like just keep true to yourself. I don't know, words, they don't come right now. I don't think that I've made like major mistakes in my life. There have been hard moments where I should have done different things maybe, but not like really big things. So just really like, yeah, that's it.
No, yeah that's a nice like thing to like say to your younger self, because I think a lot of people when they're younger, they feel like they want to copy other people and then they don't stay true to themselves.
Yeah, exactly. And now that you said this, like I actually think I would say that like if for any chance I would feel like I actually don't like to train as much and that I don't want to like put that much energy into beach volleyball, then I should like be able to say no. And I think there are a lot of people who are a little bit trapped between like maybe their parents, maybe like expectations and things like that, and to just like realize that there are so many ways you can take and you don't have to like be on this path that currently doesn't make you happy. So like you can like switch, but then the other thing, like maybe that it's just a rough patch and you should just like keep
It's just important to find the balance, I guess.
As always, for everything.
So Tina, what advice would you give to aspiring volleyball or volleyball players or athletes listening to this?
Yeah. First of all, just enjoy the game, because if you love the game, that's how you like you'll get better. And to not treat it as work and treat it as something that you want to do and an opportunity to do and be grateful for it, because there's a lot of choices you can make, like go see friends or go to practice or things like that. And like you actually need to want to go to practice. If you're forcing yourself, like what is the ultimate point of it all? Otherwise, like have a good platform when you serve, when you're in service receive, like that's the most important thing. Like service receive, reception is the most important thing. And then also get your service very well, because no one else can impact you. It's just you. So you should be able to master that very well.
Okay. I like how you just added inside out and serving game. Nice. So Tina, what would you say is the biggest lesson that volleyball has taught you about life?
Wow. Okay. Biggest lesson, to not give up, to be prepared. Always, because preparation, if you're prepared, then you will be confident. And I think also, beach volleyball has taught me everything that I know, in terms of like it has shown me how work translates into good, like how do you say, good things. When you put in work, you get results. Yeah, that's that. And it's just shown me also how important the mental aspect is of like having your head right in the right space and the like way you approach things and think about them. Yeah. Something along these lines.
Yeah, that's, yeah, like you said, everything basically.
Yeah, because it's my whole life, so I've experienced almost everything with volleyball.
Yeah. So Tina, how can our listeners connect with you and support you along your journey?
I try not to use social media that much, but I do post on Instagram, because part of being a professional athlete is like being present in the social media. So Instagram, but I have to say, like, maybe not that many ways. I don't want to give my phone number or like email. Because if you write to me on Instagram, it goes to the requested messages, so I might not even see it. If you really want to, like, how did we connect?
I literally just I DM'd you, but then like because previously I drew the thing and then like I think maybe I was not in your requested section.
Yeah, because sometimes I go through that section and I think I've spotted your message. So if you write a nice message, I will respond, but it might just take some time, maybe you need to write twice if you like. Oh. If I don't respond first.
Okay, listeners, take note.
Yeah.
No, I'm just joking. But anyway, Tina, this was such an amazing interview with you. I really, really enjoyed it. Listening to your story, listening to your sharing, I learned so much. But before we end this podcast, is there anything else that you would like to add on that I might have missed out?
Well, I think you covered like my everything, but except I would add, thank you very much for like having me on this conversation, because it's always such a pleasure to just talk with people who also love beach volleyball and who like, it's so easy to talk about all this. So I'm happy to have this conversation with you. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like there's just not enough beach volleyball like content out there.
Yeah, more people need to know about this sport. And mm-hmm. Yeah, and this year there will be the big changes into the tournaments of like how they're structured. So we'll see how that all impacts how beach volleyball is like heard in the world. Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
Yeah. And it's crazy because like a lot of people really do enjoy watching beach volleyball, even if they don't play. It's just all because they don't really know much about it. That's why it's just not out there.
Yeah, we'll see. Big things ahead, definitely. Beach volleyball is changing like very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. All the best to your future, Tina. And I hope I can get to meet you one day.
Hopefully. Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was such an amazing sharing by Tina. What I appreciate most about her is the fact that despite all her success, she is so down to earth, humble, and just sharing from the bottom of her heart. If you'd like to follow her journey, do give her a follow on Instagram, and I have linked her account in the description below. If you found this episode helpful, share it with your friend, your teammates, or even your coach. And if you have any questions that you would like to ask the players, or any players that you would love to hear their stories, please do send me a message on Instagram at TheVolleyTalkPodcast or use the hashtag TheVolleyTalkPodcast. Once again, thank you for joining us, and I'll see you in the next episode.